This is The Huddle.
This is what we do.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
Presented by DUIHeroes.com.
The Huddle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We are getting you guys ready with a two-hour preview of the Seahawks' upcoming game. This one at Lumen Field, 1:25 p.m. kickoff against the Arizona Cardinals. They're 8-2. Before we look ahead to Arizona, though, let's look back very briefly, I know, to the loss against the Packers. That one on the road at Lambeau, 17-0. First time since 2011 the Seahawks were shut out. It was a bad day on offense, as would be obvious by the final score. Russell Wilson, 20-41. 161, two interceptions. Defense, though, pretty solid. Pretty good day for defense, including Jamal Adams getting his very first interception as a Seahawks. So let's start there. Dave, what'd you like from defense?
Yeah, they covered really well. And a couple times they were dropping 8 and only rushing 3, which sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I thought you looked like Aaron Rodgers in the first half. He looked more confused and off schedule than Russell did.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. You know, you mentioned Jamal getting his first interception. He apologized to Quandre Diggs for that. And we talked to Diggs this week, and he said they switched because typically he's the guy that's in, you know, the free in the middle.
Yeah.
And I guess they switched on that play. So Jamal goes and
hey, man.
He apologizes to Quandre, and Quandre's like, bro, just appreciate and love and have fun with your interception, man.
Right. Yeah, you don't care.
Yeah, so he broke the seal on that. He's only got 4 more to go. He told us 5 interceptions.
Five interceptions,
12 and a half sacks, so he's got to get going on the sacks. But I thought, I don't want to get too specific, but Jamal Adams has looked the most the last couple games like he did last year, how they're using him. So that's really good. He got a couple of hits. He got away with one on Aaron Rodgers. He hit him in the face. And you could see that stung Rodgers a little bit. He didn't complain or anything like that.
That's shocking.
Yeah. So, that the defense looked really good in that way, but then they just wore down at the end. But and I would say this on the other side, Russell Wilson, I thought, yeah, he didn't look like it was his finger. It looked to me like he just was out of sorts. He's never been in that situation before. Mm-hmm. He's never missed games during the regular season. And I look today, the longest pass he completed was to DK Metcalf, which was just a crossing pattern for 17
right.
yards. He fell forward for a yard. But like the longest play of the day was a 3-yard pass to Will Disley, who took it for, 29 or something. So, yeah, I love the way that they started using the tight ends.
Yeah, the defense gave up those final scores in the fourth, making it a 17-point game for the Packers, in part because the Packers dominated time of possession, almost 2-1. It was 39 minutes on the field for the Packers offense to just 20 minutes for Seattle.
We're used to that.
Jake, that's one unfortunate trend for the season. Jake, let's look at offense, because Seattle's offense, they couldn't convert, they couldn't score, and you had two huge mistakes that might have just made the game for Russell Wilson. I mean, what'd you see on that side of the ball?
Well, I agree with Dave in terms of the assessment of Russell Wilson. You know, it's been saying that all week, that I don't think it was a finger issue. I believe it was getting back in the rhythm, getting back in the flow, and the game just kind of being sped up on him. And so hopefully that when you go into this next week, that isn't the same. That doesn't continue, that he's able to settle down, able to get back into the rhythm of everything again, and you start to see him play more like himself. But there are a couple factors. Number one is the interceptions. You can't have those interceptions when they showed up. I mean, just inopportune times. The first one to me was really the killer. You finally put together a 10-play drive. It was a great-looking drive. And you get yourself down there into the red zone, and here you have it. It's still a 3-0 ball game in your third down situation here. He extends the play, fine, that's great, and then force one in the end zone. And that is red zone quarterbacking 101. You don't do that because you know you have the points. Throw it away, let it be a 3-3 ball game, and you actually develop some momentum there offensively. You get to sit there and tell yourself, hey, we just had a 11-play drive, and it finished with a field goal. We want points, and we'll get back to it. But the air just got sucked out of the offense on that. And then you get down to, you know, around 8 minutes left in the game, and Russell is forcing a ball down the field to Tyler Lockett, second interception, and then that leads to a following drive where it becomes 17-0, and the game is pretty much over and done with at that point. So those interceptions, the decision-making from Russell Wilson, to me, was more of the issue of the game than anything else.
Yeah, Pete Carroll making it clear, too. He just wants to see more rush attempts, at least moving forward. Alex Collins had just 11 carries, and I know that when we talk about the pace of the game and the situational football that they're playing, when they fall behind, yeah, that's going to stay that way, right? They're going to try to pass to speed up the game, speed up those drives and score. But I was certainly surprised they didn't run it a little bit more. Coming back with a quarterback who's missed so much time, and I know you don't have Chris Carson, but Alex Collins has been solid. Now, Collins did have a groin injury that he'd been dealing with, was limited in practice. But, I mean, Rashad Penny didn't play a snap. You only saw Travis Homer out there once. So I'd certainly expect more carries against Arizona, but what kind of defense are we looking at here with the Cardinals?
Man, they're so much better. They're top five in both points and yards. So,
eight.
Yeah, it's tough. But look, Pete saying that we have to get the running backs the ball. Collins, he averaged 4 yards a carry, 4.1 actually. I don't think he's Chris Carson, but when you give him the ball, and it was the same thing with Chris Carson. Like when you give him 20 carries, he'll get 1,000 yards for you. But, you know, they got away from that last year when he was in there. And then, I think they have to get it back to Alex Collins. You know that drive with the interception, you talk about sucking the air out of it?
Yeah.
I thought if Travis Homer had made that catch and not looked away and dropped it, it was just a little in the flat. I feel like he'd have broken that tackle and possibly scored. So, but he also got a carry. It was only for 2 yards, but they got to get – this isn't Pete being old school and, you know, going back to the Stone Age with we had to run the ball. I mean,
right.
I mean, you look at the Arizona Cardinals, for example, their offense, they are 4 plays away from being exactly 50-50 run pass. So, and the Seahawks right now are about 45-55 run to pass. So, yeah, they need to get that balance back like the Cardinals have.
Yeah, they do. And this is where it shows up. Just to give everybody a clear example, what does that look like? Running the ball more, how does that come into effect? Well, you have this 10-play drive, and really where they start to stall out, and you mentioned that drop from Travis Homer, that certainly would have been a big play and a big difference, but you get yourself all the way down to the 25-yard line, the opponent's 25-yard line, and from that point forward, you don't have another rush attempt. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pass plays after that point. And I very much view that as a situation where you need to continue. If the run game is working and you have a drive where you're getting, you know, 4 yards, then 7 yards, then you need to continue to keep going to that because you're creating momentum from the line of scrimmage. You're creating momentum with the running back. And that is something that allows you to set other things up with your pass plays. So that is a particular area of the field and situation and moment where I thought to myself in that where you run the ball to get yourself closer into the red zone. You continue to ride that momentum that you have, and then you can give another shot or two to Russell Wilson at that point. But I just think that there's times where it's hard to they are not hitting the right pressure points. In a given game, continuing the rhythm that you have offensively at times.
All right, we'll go over a little bit more of what Seattle has to do, most especially when we get back to our interviews. John Boyle, a Seahawks reporter, is going to join us at 12:45. He'll be followed by Michael Bumpus at 1 to kick off hour 2 of the huddle. So we'll have plenty to talk about taking a look at the team. First, though, let's speak to the team itself. Kerry Hyder Jr. and John Rattigan joining us back-to-back here. Don't go anywhere. This is the huddle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We're going to be joined here in just a minute by defensive lineman Kerry Hyder Jr. Following him, we're going to speak to linebacker John Rattigan, who has been stellar on special teams. Very excited for both of these interviews. Glad we're taking a defensive approach, too, because What the Seahawks have in store this week is facing Kyler Murray, who has been phenomenal so far with Arizona. Now, we're going to go across enemy lines and have an opponent preview with ESPN Cardinals reporter Josh Weinfuss later in the show, and we'll be asking him about Murray's status. Right now, guys, if I had to guess, I'm going to say Murray plays. He's not at 100%, but probably plays in this one. Even, you know, let's talk about just having Kyler Murray out there, even if he's not fully healthy. What kind of challenge does he bring these defenses in particular?
How about football 101, radio 101, turn your microphone on?
Honestly, Dave, you did great. You did a great job. You executed it so quickly.
It's always a nightmare for a linebacker when you have a guy that can run. And look, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady versus, you know, Michael Vick or Russell Wilson, I'll take the Tom Brady. It was just such a chore. I mean, and it's an extra meeting, basically. You know, you've got to figure out how to, you know, you can't turn your back, for example. And, you know, I know that Bobby Wagner was talking about the screenplay, and I remember in Minnesota, they ran a screenplay, and him and Jordan Brooks are both turning and running. So you're dead. You almost can't do that. Like, if you run man-to-man, you have to keep an eye in the backfield. Sometimes it would be the crowd that would tell me, you know, if you're running with a guy downfield, yeah, and all of a sudden you like hear the roar of the crowd and you turn around and here he comes. So I would much rather face Aaron Rodgers than Kyler Murray. It's just a chore for the defense.
Well, and you talk about the Arizona Cardinals and them being such an effective running team. They've really transitioned into having two really good backs, Chase Edmonds. I said this earlier in the year, but some guys, you know, they have a number change and they're just not as good anymore. For him, it's the complete opposite. He turned to number two, and this guy has been a superstar at running back. I love his game and the way he runs. He is quick, electric, really good back this year. But they also signed James Conner in the offseason. He's been a really nice addition for them. But you tack that on with Kyler Murray's running ability, and it also inflates your numbers a little bit. So your rush numbers inflate a little bit. Your yardage inflates a little bit because the quarterback in those passing situations is taking off and running with it, or zone reads and quarterback design runs. And those are the different elements that Kyler Murray, that he brings to the table, that just continues to stretch your defense and makes it very, very thin. And so it can be, as Dave has said and speaks to his own experience, I've seen it before, where you can just see the defense just so exasperated by, we literally did everything right on that play except for corral the quarterback and keep him in the pocket, and therefore he's running and gaining a first down on us.
Do we think that the Seahawks' struggles defending screenplays are going to rear their head in this one especially?
If I'm an opponent, I'm coming in looking at their screen game and I'm going, yeah, I'm gonna try to run it. I mean, it's a nice, easy throw for the quarterback. Although sometimes you got a pass rusher. The first one they ran, the Packers, he had to kind of sidearm it to I think it was Aaron Jones. But yeah, it's just a matter of recognizing that. You really need to, as a defensive lineman, recognize that right away. And are we going to an interview here?
Yeah, about 10 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. We'll get back to this, though.
We'll get back to that later.
Maybe we'll get to it with Kerry. Joining us right now on the huddle is defensive lineman Kerry Hyder Jr. Kerry, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to start with Kerry. I've interviewed you once before, and you were pretty frank with your answers, so I'm hoping that I don't get, like, a football answer. I hope I get, like, Kerry Hyder answer to this one. But I got to know, Kerry, from your perspective, just as a defensive player, even if you make the play and even if you do a great job, what's the most annoying thing about covering a team where the quarterback can also run?
Just the preparation. You know, it's always in the back of your mind. Like, I'd be playing against a guy like Kyler. Like, you just got to account for what he can do with his legs. You know, he's a really dynamic player, and it takes a team effort. You know, not one guy can get him down. It's going to take the whole D-line, the whole defense, keeping an eye on a guy like that.
So, Kerry, do you adjust, like, your technique? I mean, you know, maybe with a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, you can, you know, go flying upfield. Is it a different kind of pass rush for you? Do you use different moves against a guy like Kyler Murray?
Absolutely. Like, you don't want to be behind a guy like Kyler Murray. You know, he can, you can blink, and next thing you know, he's 30 yards downfield, you know. So when you're pass rushing a guy like that, you just don't want to be behind him. You don't want to give him windows where he can step up and he can take off running.
Kerry, how much has it been a difficult thing at different points just to get the chemistry down with new guys on the defensive line? Because everybody looks at that position as, oh, it's an individual game. It's one-on-one. You have your rush lanes. You know, it's just your job to go one-on-one, but you add the twists and the stunts and all that. There's tremendous timing and chemistry that goes into that.
Yeah, it really takes, like, reps, you know, like getting out there rushing together. You know, I can see it as a group coming together really well, and it's taking a little longer than expected for us to mesh and, like, really gel how we really want to. But as a defense, I really feel like we're making strides. And as the D-line particularly, like, we're like, as a group, I can really feel us getting ready to change more games and really just get more sacks and, you know, more TFLs. You know, that's the goal. And as a D-line, I think we're taking that on our shoulders, and we're going to really make a difference.
Hey, Kerry, you definitely do see that. What has the conversations been like within that room amongst yourselves about that process? You mentioned it not coming together as quickly as you wanted to. Has it been mostly positive in those discussions? Has it been frank in terms of how you guys need to continue to keep working together better? What have those conversations have been like to get yourself to the point that you are now?
The thing about it is we're professionals, you know, and no one has to tell us that we're not getting the job done or we need to do more, you know. I think as a group, we all have high expectations for ourselves, and we all want to do well. We all want to get sacked. So when it's not happening, we're looking to each other. We're looking inside ourselves, trying to find a way to make it right.
Hey, Kerry, are you excited to get back to Lumen Field for this one? I know it might be rainy this weekend, and it's been a little wet here in the Northwest, but it had to be freezing at Lambeau.
Oh yeah, we're excited, man. Like, whenever we can get out in front of the 12s and you know, get that crowd rocking, and when quarterbacks can't make checks, the line of scrimmage, you know, we look forward to it. You know, it was nice getting away a little bit, but getting home in front of the 12s, man, that's where we want to play every week if we can.
Hey, Kerry, I want to ask you about a couple of things that you guys are dropping back into coverage, D-line, quite a bit. I don't have a count like how many times you've done it. I think I've seen you back there, but you guys work on that as far as, like, do you go over with the linebackers and work on the pass drops? What are your keys when you are dropping back into coverage as a defensive lineman?
I mean, we basically like linebackers, you know. I want to say we got a real versatile group, so, you know, coach was able to draw some things where we can drop in coverage and we can give the offense some different looks. And, you know, the defensive lineman, I know some guys don't like it, but I know I enjoy doing it. You don't get to get back there and try to get an interception too much. So whenever I can drop, you know, I'm looking for that first interception.
Yeah, there we go. We'll be rooting for you, man. Hey, tell me about another play, the screen play. It's just you got to read it. It's, you know, it's really an effective play if it works. But tell us about your guys' work on that, and what are your keys on that particular play?
You know, we just got to see it. You know, I think we all pride ourselves in being good pass rushers. So when you hit your move, you know, you kind of feel like you won, you know.
Yeah.
So you just got to know it's not that easy, you know. We in the NFL, no one's just gonna let you blow by.
Yeah.
You know, we're an aggressive team, so a lot of times we're trying to get upfield, we're trying to make plays, but you know, we got to read our keys. We got to know it feels a little different than a regular pass set, and get out and make some plays running downfield.
Yeah. You know, I had a teammate that used to call the D linemen that rushed hard on a screen play, they called him pass rushing geniuses. Like, oh, look, you got free. Oh, no, he let you go. So, I mean, that is always a frustrating play to play, no matter who you are. I mean, I think that play pretty much can get the best player in the league can get fooled by that.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, you've probably been waiting all game to throw this move, then you throw it. You've been planning it all week, and that's the time of the screen.
Yeah.
You just got to react, and, you know, and we got to bottle it up as a team.
All right, good stuff. He is Kerry Hyder, Jr. Kerry, we're glad to see you back out there this weekend, and good luck, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, see ya. All right, we're going to be joined next by linebacker.
What a good dude.
But he's great. By linebacker John Rattigan. Don't go anywhere. This is The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. Joining us now, linebacker John Radigan, and fittingly, it's Salute to Service weekend in the NFL, and he is an Army grad. So, John, thanks for joining us. We're really excited to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on. I appreciate it.
Now, John, before I get started, and we're going to get into a more serious conversation, but look, we have a little bit of a bet as to whether or not you're going to know this sound or this song at all. So I'm going to play it for you, okay? Listen carefully. Have you ever heard that before?
Sounded like SpongeBob.
No, this is, yeah. I knew this would happen. You're too young, John. It's from The Great Mouse Detective, and we thought maybe you'd know it, but then we had to remind people that, what year were you born in?
I was born in 99.
Oh, God, this is awful.
I told you this
horrible.
Was going to happen.
Oh, wait, what is the relevance of that song?
It's the Disney character Radigan.
Yeah, so congratulations, everyone who's like 30, for thinking you're young. You're not. John is young. John was born in 1999. John.
I'm so sorry, John. I told them not to do this.
John, I'm not sorry. Thank you for being a good sport and playing along. How's the season going? I know it's not the start that you guys would have wanted, but you've made some fantastic plays on special teams. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm just appreciative of the opportunity, and like you said, we don't have the record that we want right now as a team, but I think, you know, every different unit that we have out there plays really hard, and it's just unfortunate that some of these games, you know, we haven't been able to get it done. And I think as an organization, we've faced a good amount of adversity. We've missed guys different weeks, and that's kind of how the NFL is. I'm learning, how the game is. It's a little bit different in the professional world, and you're going to be missing some of your key players week in and week out. And, I think that's affected us a little bit. But overall, I mean, I wouldn't say that the morale or our intentions are any less just because we're a 3-6 football team right now. You know, a lot of these games could have gone the other way. So we're certainly still part of a good football team, and it's been a blessing personally.
You know, I used to watch that show, A Season with Navy, and I always thought that the service guys are so much more disciplined and so much, you know, easier to coach because they're used to it and everything. How much being at Army and just in that situation, does that help you in football? Be disciplined, hardworking, all those things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think it was just a different lifestyle. My college career, you know, in the 4 years I was at West Point, it was definitely a little bit different than the typical, you know, D1 football player. So I got a lot of similar experiences with these guys in terms of playing college football, but on top of that, you know, I feel like I have developed myself to be a lot more disciplined and just going about my day. This is kind of what I've been used to. This is what I've been doing for 4 years, is show up and go to work regardless of what's put in front of me. So to have this opportunity is a blessing, and, to have the opportunity to go to and graduate from West Point was just amazing, and it's done me wonders, and certainly paying off now, you know, being a rookie in the NFL.
John, the thing that's been crazy about your journey, your experience so far as a pro is, you know, you were one of the names that I had heard about within the building that everyone was really excited about. Hey, watch out for this guy. He's got a real chance to make the team even though he's undrafted free agent. Then you're hurt. Then you're hurt pretty much the entire offseason, and you only get one game, one shot in the preseason, and you made the most of it. What was your mentality throughout that process, and then finally getting a chance to show what you could do?
Yeah, it was certainly a wild experience, and that was something, adversity is going to come. Throughout my football career, so much adversity has come, and I feel like that's the same for everybody that's reached this level. But that was something that totally caught me by surprise. You know, I was not anticipating that I was going to be injured. I was not anticipating missing any time because, like you said, I'm an undrafted guy, and to be honest, you know, we don't have, you can't miss any practices if you want to make the team. And going into that last preseason game, I was really looking forward to the first preseason game. I wanted to be back, and then You know, I didn't really recover as well as I needed to, and I wanted to be back for the second one. And same thing, it just kind of kept prolonging. And, you know, it was a tough mental battle, I would say, just to start things off here. But you live and you learn. And going into, you know, game three, I was still, you know, I'm still out here. I still have the opportunity to go in and practice every day. And while I was out, I was still doing my best mentally to be ready for my chance. And that was my chance. Our third preseason game, I went out there and did the best I could, gave it my all. You know, you only get one shot, so bring a rocket launcher.
Hey, John, going back to Dave's question for you about, you know, kind of working out, you know, with West Point and that kind of setting you up for success in a different way. What is the single hardest workout you've ever had related to football at West Point or in the pros?
I would definitely say at West Point, all of the Army football boys could agree. Mat drills is probably the hardest thing we've ever had to do, which is just our winter conditioning. You know how college coaching works. Guys will come in and out in terms of coaches, position changes, all that kind of stuff, and just talking to different people that would come in, especially because my senior year we had a new defensive staff, and when they came in and we did our first winter conditioning going into my senior year, they were just like, I've never seen anything like this. It's definitely, it's just top tier, and we get after it in the off seasons out there. So I would have to say there's like a 2-week period before spring break that we do our winter conditioning, and I would say all of those, there's not one day that's any easier than the other. Those were all very hard workouts, so I'll still remember those for the rest of my life.
Hey, John, it was so cool when they signed you to the roster, and, you know, you were, I think, you know, possibly going to be making, practice squad money. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get the big check, man. I mean, it was that, I know for me, it was like Monopoly money. Like, it was
like
just,
it wasn't real.
Like, I can't believe somebody is going to pay me to play a game that I love. Tell us your reaction to that when that happened.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. I mean, money, you know, I never wanted money to be the complete motivation, right,
sure,
to playing in the NFL, because I think if that's the case, you know, you're not going to give it your all. And if you're not passionate about something, you're never going to truly succeed in it. So, you know, but certainly money's a factor, right? And we all got to make a living somehow. And just to be making more money than I would had I normally, you know, graduated from West Point and not played football, I'm definitely, you know, I'm blessed, I'm fortunate, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity, because I was, you know, just making practice squad money is great. And, you know, when I got signed to the active roster, now, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be on this level, and I want to be making this much money, because, you know, there's just, it opens up the doors for a lot more opportunities and a lot more opportunities for me to help people, you know, because I feel very fortunate, like you said, to be playing a game that I love and making, you know, the amount of money that we do.
Hey, John, we wish we had more time with you, man. You've just been such a blast to talk to, but we really, really appreciate it. And good luck this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys.
Of course. Thanks. Yeah. All right, that was linebacker John Rattigan. Shocking news, did not know the song from Great Mouse Detective. Related news, was born in 1999. So those two things, something.
Oh, when did Mouse Detective
like
come 89. Out?
Like 89, 10 years before he was born. 1999, yeah. And here he is driving and talking. Like,
hey,
how?
Listen, you ever watched The Great Mouse Detective?
No,
with your kids?
We're talking about three different generations here.
And also, if he had recognized that, I would have thought lesser of him.
Same, in a weird way. Not Curtis, though. Curtis, very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, right. I had been banking his entire existence on the Seahawks roster on him knowing.
How old were you when
I was only
Curtis wasn't born yet.
But my sisters were, so.
Wait, it was 89?
89.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was born in 91.
Fantastic
movie.
It's my third year in the NFL.
I was born.
Thank you, Stacey.
That
you make me feel young.
Depending on the month, Dave.
Okay.
Anyways, well, we will be back here with Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle. This is The Huddle. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaves, and Stacey Ross. Wrapping up Hour 1, getting ready for Hour 2, a two-hour Seahawks preview of the Seahawks' upcoming game against the Arizona Cardinals. Joining us now for a look at this team, where they stand heading out of that loss against the Packers, is Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle. John, how are you?
I am doing good, Stacey, but I'm going to apologize in advance if you get any weird baby noises, because I'm homesick with with a sick baby working from home. So hopefully I can keep her quiet, but no guarantees.
I hope she gets better soon.
Yeah, same, same.
Thanks, guys.
We'll start with a very quick look back, since I'm sure fans don't want to spend too much time on it. But it was an ugly game offensively and then a great game defensively against Green Bay. What do you think, offensively has the greatest chance to improve against the Arizona Cardinals, who are admittedly a tough defense?
I mean, it's a lot of things that need to get better. Obviously, when you get shut out, a lot of things go wrong. We heard Pete Carroll talk about they need to run the ball more. I mean, only 11 carries for running backs is not ideal for this offense. And then the throwing game needs to get better, too. Russell Wilson, was the first to admit a lot of that loss was on him. He did not play very well. He threw two interceptions, which in what at the time is a, one-score game, a three-point game, throwing an interception in the red zone is a pretty big blow. So, they got to get him sharper. I don't know if it was just some rust from being out that long. He and Pete Carroll both insisted it was not related to his finger injury, but they obviously need their, quarterback to be better, and they just need to function better in a lot of ways, sustain some drives, stay on the field, help that defense out.
Yeah, somebody pointed out, and I thought it was totally, I trust Pete, and I agree with him, that it wasn't the finger. It was just being sort of out of sorts. And you saw the same thing with Aaron Rodgers in the first half. He was kind of the same way. Did you notice anything different? Somebody was telling me that Russ was not himself, because typically he's going up and down the sidelines and encouraging people. And this time he just looked kind of, I don't want to say confused, but yeah, from what you heard and from Pete and everything, it seems like, John, that it was just more, like you said, the rust more than anything, because he's never experienced this before.
Yeah, I mean, I think, he's never had a long layoff in the middle of a season like that. I'm guessing he hasn't gone 3-4 weeks without throwing a football literally in his life since he first picked up a football. So,
that's a good point.
I think that's probably the biggest factor there. And then, look, Green Bay's defense is really good. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense have never played particularly well there. So I think, to expect them to come out and hang up 30 points in that game is probably not realistic. Should they have been better? Should they have scored some points? Absolutely. But I think there's just a ton of factors at play, and it's not fair to just say, oh, his finger wasn't right.
John, one of the other aspects of this game is, and the reason why it stings so much, is because it was such a close game for so long and the defense played so unbelievably well. What have you made of this defensive turnaround at this point in the season?
Yeah, I think we might have talked about this last week. Yeah, I was really looking forward to this game to see, how much of what the defense has done is real, because they've played really well in recent weeks, but they certainly not played a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, a duo like Rodgers throwing to Devontae Adams, and you just wondered, how real is this? Well, we saw on Sunday, it's very real. I mean, they played a great game. They did give up the two late touchdowns, but, that's tough when you're on the field as much as they were, and it just caught up to them, and, they got a couple late scores. But I just think we've seen so many things clean up. The coverage has been so much better, especially, I think the changes they made at cornerback have really paid dividends, and, Jamal Adams is playing better in tandem with Quandre Diggs. Just the whole back end's been so much cleaner. So, yeah, if there's something good to be taken out of a shutout loss, it's how well that defense played and against one of the great quarterbacks really of all time. So it's a very encouraging step for this defense. And it makes you believe that, if this offense can figure things out, and given the talent there, I think they can, that all of a sudden this team could get hot and win a bunch of games with the defense playing like that.
Pete Carroll made it clear he wants to see more carries than just 11 for Alex Collins. Do you also get the impression he wants to see more than just Alex Collins carrying the ball?
I do. I think some of his comments about Rashad Penny, they'd like to see him get going. It's been a tough year for Penny, and he just, with injuries, and then they haven't been able to find chances to get him going in the game. I do think we'll still see Collins start, and that's where you need to get more plays. You need to figure out whether it's the running game or just converting more short passes, things like that. But it's hard to get that running game going and get multiple backs involved when you're, one, I think they might be dead last or near the bottom of plays run, offensive plays run in the NFL. So you know, figure out a way to keep some drives going, keep that offense on the field, and then, yeah, there's a chance to get more backs going.
What do you hear about L.J. Collier, John? That's been another one kind of like Penny. Both, you know, similar paths, first rounders, you know, and not necessarily working out the way that they would like it. But he was playing the other day, and I'm just curious what the word is about his play and, you know, where this season ends up for L.J. Collier.
Yes, it's going to be interesting to see how they use him down the stretch here because, obviously, you know, he'd only been active, I think, twice before this past game all season. He's been a healthy scratch more often than not. And Pete Carroll, it was interesting. He kind of said, just look, he deserves it. He's been working really hard. He's been doing well in practice. Defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. said that he played well and graded out well in that game. I mean, there weren't a bunch of the big flashy plays. But I do think, you know, maybe they're looking for ways to get some more interior pass rush. When Pete Carroll was asked about the pass rush on Wednesday, that's one thing he pointed to. Is they've been going so big, which is, been really good for their run defense, but when you've got Brian Monet, Al Woods, and Puna Ford on the field all at the same time, that's not necessarily getting you a ton of pass rush. So maybe they see Collier as a guy that in one of those, you know, big interior spots can get you a little more pass rush in some situations.
You know, John, one of the things that has been pointed out has been that screen game and have been asked to a number of people on defense, Bobby, Jordan Brooks. And to me, you look at some of the things that has been going on, I honestly kind of look at it as a positive in terms of you're getting to a point where you're starting to fix so many other things around you that you're starting to actually get into a focal point here on one particular thing. How does that go to show the evolution that Jordan Brooks just needs to continually keep working and progressing to get better?
Yeah, I mean, he talked about that yesterday. That's kind of he's made a lot of progress overall in a lot of areas. I think we've seen him a lot better and, you know, dropping into zone coverage and playing those concepts that the Seahawks like to do. But they have been getting burned on a lot of those screens. It's not just on Jordan Brooks, but the weak side linebacker is the guy a lot of times those plays kind of flow towards, and he's the guy that's got to stop it. It's unfortunate for Brooks. He's following in the shoes of probably the best screen stopping linebacker we've ever seen here. I mean, maybe Dave Wyman was a little before my time. He might have been on par with KJ, right? But it's tough. So he's got big shoes to fill. He's going to get better. You know, that's going to be a big focus. Bobby Wagner is going to help him get better at that. But, yeah, I mean, going back to your point, I think that's a good sign that if that's the one thing you're worried about right now, teams would much rather be throwing 50-yard bombs down the field than checking down to screens if they were able to get those easy on a defense. And Seahawks have been taking a lot of things away, but unfortunately that's sort of been the one weak spot in these last few games.
He is Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle. Make sure you're reading his work at Seahawks.com. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope your kid gets better. Give our best. Yep. And thanks for keeping a straight face when you mentioned my name as one of the all-time greatest.
I mean, no one can see my face, which was helpful.
There. Yeah, that helps. That helps. All right,
thank
Boyle.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, see John. Ya.
All right. Normally, we would go in the trenches with Ray Roberts to kick off hour two, but filling in for Ray is former Seahawks wide receiver, current Seahawks pre- and post-game show host Michael Bumpus. That's next on The Huddle.